God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Feast of the Presentation, it was at the feast, the day is February the 2nd, but it's such an, it's a feast of the Lord, and we're allowed to transfer it, and so we've transferred it to a Sunday so we can have this wonderful celebration of the Feast of the Presentation, Candlemas, and I'll tell at the end of the homily why this is a day for candles. The word presentation here is not just, let me present someone to you. The word presentation here is as in a sacrifice presented. They come to offer the appointed sacrifices, but they, Simeon sees it, but it's hidden. We see it. They come to offer the appointed sacrifices, but they come with the one who is both the perfect priest and the perfect sacrifice. So there is this incredible moment that takes place in the temple today. We need to remember the place of the temple in the history of the people of Israel. God has a plan for the redemption of the human race. He's going to make a special people for himself. That people is going to be his instrument to redeem, restore, and heal all people. He's going to use this people to win all people away from the death-dealing worship of the idols and win them to the life-giving worship of the one true and only God. That's the backdrop of the drama between Moses and Pharaoh, worshiping the idols that lead to death versus worshiping God who gives life. He doesn't call them because they're especially pious. He doesn't call them because they're especially virtuous. He calls them, like he calls us, because it's of his nature to shower undeserved blessings. And because it is his plan to save the many through the few. Should not lose heart that we're few, because it's God's plan to save the many through the few. So he takes them to the mountain and he gives them the 10 words of life, Torah. We say commandments, but the Jewish people, I think, more appropriately say the 10 words of life. Live this way. Live this way, never be slaves again. And live this way and be my instrument, because by the way that you live towards me and by the way that you live towards the Israel, you will be a light to the nations. So that is all the different people groups that there are. You'll be a light to the nations. You will be my glory. And God gives the 10 words of life. He gives the scriptures. We summarize them every Sunday morning. And then he gives something else as well. With the 10 commandments, with the covenant, he gives a liturgy. And he gives a place of meeting. First, it's a tent in the desert. Leads them through the desert into the Holy Land. When they get to the Holy Land, they build on the same pattern as the tent of meeting, they build the temple in Jerusalem. This cathedral is built on that pattern. And this is the place where God has appointed that he will meet his people. And his glory will dwell in the midst of his people. And when, you, now, the glory of God is the radiance of the divine light. And Moses wants to see it, but God says, if you see my glory face to face, surely you shall die. But the glory is hidden by a cloud. And the glory of God descends upon the tent of meeting, first on the tent of meeting, and then when Solomon prays, it descends upon the temple in Jerusalem. And there's this cloud, and it's full of the radiance of the divine glory, the light and life of God. Now, when the people slip out of the way of life and slip back into the way of death, when they fall away from the worship of the one true and living God and fall back into the worship of the idols, God has provided the temple where they can come and perceive once again the glory of God. And there will be awakened in them. This is the purpose of the temple. There will be awakened in them a new heart, a new desire, to return glory to God in praise, adoration, and worship, and in love and service of each other. And when they have fallen away, they're appointed in the temple sacrifices. And much could be said about the sacrifices in the temple. But the ultimate sacrifice is blood. The high priest takes a basin of blood and he pours it out upon the altar. Their understanding is the life of the creature is in the blood. So this is a life that is poured out. It's poured out to God. It's poured out for the sake of the people. And this blood that is poured out, it speaks about the gravity of sin. It speaks about the death that's deserved from turning aside from God's ways. But it also speaks about cleansing, healing, renewing, redemption, and new life. Both of these things. And so, the blood of the sacrifice atones, cleanses, heals, restores, and reconsecrates these people so that they can be God's kingdom of priests. What the kingdom of priests are the people who perceive the glory of God and give witness to the glory of God to the nations by their worship of God, by their love and service of each other. Now, so the presence of God, the renewal of the people by coming near to the glory of God in the temple is essential to God's plan to save all people. Essential to God's plan to sustain and renew his people, Israel, that they might be a light to the nations. But there's a problem that turns up, and the problem is this, that it's possible, and this is always a problem, it's always something that we need to be keenly aware of. There's a problem. The problem is you can have the form of godliness, you can have the form of godliness, St. Paul says, but not the power thereof. The liturgy is essential. The liturgy is indispensable. The liturgy is good. It's from God. It's an instrument of God's grace. But it has to be inhabited. It has to be done with a whole heart. There has to be a heart that's put into it so that a heart can be gotten out of it. And there comes this problem that the liturgy goes on, sacrifices go on, but there's not a new hearing of God, not a renewal of obedience to God, not a renewal in the perception of the glory such that the heart wells up in praise and adoration and goes out in tender love and mercy. Now, when that happens, God gives the prophets of Israel word, and the word is this: I hate and despise your sacrifices. You don't have the right heart. I hate and despise your sacrifices. The sacrifice that God requires is a contrite heart. And what does your God require but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? They're not able to do this. Now, we must be very careful here as we're studying the history of the people of Israel, of the Jewish people. Be very careful here. They are the stand-in for us. They're not different from us. They're the stand-in for us. Their problem is our problem. Their problem is our problem. They can fall. They can fall away from the calling that they have to be God's light to the nations. And they can fall into this problem of having the form of godliness, but not the power thereof. So can we. It's a common problem. It gets so bad that God removes his protection from Israel. They're conquered by their enemies. They're defeated. They're taken into exile. And there in exile, the priest Ezekiel sees the glory of God leave the temple. And God sends a prophet and says, God's going to restore you. He's going to bring you back. They do go back. They rebuild the city. They rebuild the temple. The sacrifices are starting to take place again. There's real hope for renewal, restitution, and reconsecration. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. The sacrifices go on. The liturgy goes on. It's literally lame. And now we're in the book of Malachi. which is at the end of the Old Testament. And the sacrifices that are being offered in the temple are being, instead of having the first fruits and the unblemished animal for the sacrifice, they're bringing the sick and the lame animals for the sacrifice. And they got the form of godliness, but not the power. Sacrifice is going on, liturgy is going on, the personal immorality and the social immorality are also going on as well. One of the symptoms of this in the book of Malachi is that there is an epidemic of divorce in the community. And men are not able to keep faith with the wives of their youth. And they take wives from the other tribes who bring in their strange gods. There's a parallel here. God is faithful, but his people are unfaithful. This is the problem. They're unfaithful, and so they can't offer the sacrifice that is really needed, which is, you can't dispense with the outward thing. You need that. It's God's instrument of grace, but it has to be inhabited. It has to have heart in it so that heart can be taken from it, so that there can be a new heart for perceiving and returning glory to God and for the love and service of each other. How will this problem be solved? Well, God gives a word to the prophet, and the word is this: the day is coming when I myself will return. I'm going to come, and I'm going to renew my people. When I come, it will be like a refiner's fire. It will be a sifting, a sorting, and a judging. Some will stumble and fall. I myself will come. And when I come, I'm going to put a new heart into the people. I'm going to put a new heart into the priests. I'm going to put a new heart into the liturgy. And then they will offer sacrifices like they did of old. And my people will be renewed and reconstituted as the glory of my people Israel, a light to the nations. Now when he comes, these promises of Malachi are coming true. Of course, when we look upon him whom we have pierced, the fire of his love sifts us, sorts us, purifies us, renews us, heals us, and restores us. Here they come. They're coming to offer the appointed sacrifice, but they come with the one who is the perfect priest and the perfect sacrifice, and who is the fulfillment of the promise that God gave through the prophets, including Malachi, that he himself would come and put a new heart into his people and reconstitute their worship and make them once again a light to the nations. Old Simeon has been praying that he would see the day. And with Holy Ghost vision, when they bring the child in, he sees it, takes him in his arms, lifts him up to God. Now let thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But it's not good for the man to be alone. Remember that in Genesis? It's not good for the man to be alone. So here comes the woman. In Jewish law, two witnesses establish a fact. In the beginning, a man and a woman turned away from the glory of God and sought their own glory. Now a man and a woman perceive the glory of God and give thanks to God for the renewal that is taking place in and through Jesus Christ the Lord. And the glory of God, the Lord whom you seek, returns suddenly to the temple. And Malachi's promise is fulfilled. Now the liturgy is a time machine. It always takes us back and it always takes us forward. And so today we go back and we stand in the temple with Anna and Simeon. It's organic, it's natural. It was bound to happen that as in the liturgy, God's people who have been renewed in and through Jesus Christ the Lord are celebrating the moment when the glory returns to the temple. In fact, when the temple is being replaced and the new temple is being established, because Jesus Christ himself now is the temple, And he's building a new temple with himself as the cornerstone and us as living stones. It was very natural that as this moment is being, it's being relived, it comes into our present in such a way as to open a new future for us. As this moment is being relived in the liturgy, it's only natural that as the glory, the light, the radiance of God, you can't see the radiance of God, but we've beheld it in the face of Jesus Christ the Lord. As that radiance returns to the midst of the people, it's only natural candles would be lit. And then it's only natural that this would be the day when he would bless all the candles that would be used in the church for all that year. And it's only natural that there would be a procession with candles so that the people would remember the gift that we have through the Holy Ghost when we were baptized, when the light of Christ was enkindled in us, so that we might answer the call and be the glory of my people Israel and the light to the nations. I end with a story. It's a familiar story. It's often told at Candlemas, but it's a good story. St. Anthony was one of the first monks, St. Anthony of the Desert, very, very holy man. People were just attracted to him. The radiance of Christ shone in his face. They're listening to him one day, and they're overwhelmed, and they say, "Father, what else can we do?" And the story is that old Anthony holds up his fingers like 10 candles, and he says, "Be ablaze. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.